The Vox Markets Podcast.
It's 12 o'clock. Welcome to Take a Stock on Monday, the 23rd of October, 2023. I'm joined by John. He's only human.
Have you heard that before, John? No, never.
Marvellous stuff. Anyway, so listen, you would never guess, John. You would never guess this. This is a bit of a shock and surprise here. The AIM All Share is down again.
Look at that.
Is it no end to this? Is there no end to the fall? 48% down, 777 days from the high on the 6th of September, 2021. The question I'm asking, by the way, if you're watching this for the first time, don't forget, hit that subscribe button, please. And hit that like button. And of course, people will find it. More people find it, the more likely you are to continue whittling on at 12 o'clock each day. But this is the thing I'm asking, John, right? What are the chances of a Santa rally? Because we are literally less than 2 months away, trading days, till Christmas. Because Christmas is on a Monday, and so it'll be the 22nd is a Friday. So we are, it's 23rd day, 2 months away from Christmas. What are the chances of a Santa rally? There's a little survey out there, but by all means, in the comments, Santa rally, yes or no? What do you think?
Statistically, 75% chance.
Yeah. Well, I have no idea. This is my weekend. I love it. So the data is always best from the US. They've got so much data over there, you know, and everything compared to the UK. But since 1950, apparently the S&P 500 has gained an average of 1.3% during the seven-day Santa rally. And make no bones about it, Santa rally starts quite late in December. It takes place. It's gained 34 in the past 45 years. In the UK, from 1985 to 2015, the FTSE has made an average gain of 2.26% in the last month of the year, rising in value 83% of the time. So what about AIM? So this is what I spent my weekend doing. Not all of it, a little bit. I went through the charts on AIM, looking at the last quarter and December. In the last 10 years, it has risen 70% of the time in Q4 and 80% of the time in December. So based on historical stats, it's a good chance it'll happen. I think the fact we've been sold off so much, and the RSI, like I said, is down about 16 days in a row now. I think we will have a bounce. But of course, there are other things at play here. There's a lot of worry around the world on every level. I mean, look at that. The RSI is down and continue to drop down further. So, but they can't stay down there for that long. The longer it stays down for, it's almost like coil spring. The more chance of rebounding, you know?
Yeah, I mean, you are seeing big rebounds in individual equities. So, you know, you would you'd expect that to kind of spread at some point. But, you know, it's hard to see catalysts at the moment. That's the problem.
Yeah. But that's when it happens, though, isn't it? Do you remember that time when the big sell-off of the COVID dash for crash, and everyone sort of went to cash worrying, and then all of a sudden, you know, they just started rallying like crazy, and people said, I can't rally that far, the economy's shut down around the world, you know, the companies can't earn money, and all that. But it rallies tremendously strong, and most people are caught, you know, without any stock, you know, short or whatever. So you can have surprise rally when there's no seeming catalyst. Sometimes the catalyst is the fact that it's been oversold for so long, you know.
Well, if you remember during that COVID rally, there was a lot of money floating around. So, you know, you always had helicopter money over in the US, a lot of which found its way into risk assets. Bitcoin went crazy during that period, if you remember. And over in the UK, obviously, people were, you know, sitting at home and, you know, the wages were totting up. So a lot of that money found its way into the market as well.
Yeah, but look at this.
That catalyst isn't there this time.
Look at Bitcoin, though. Bitcoin is a very good barometer of, you know, people's risk attitudes. And I know this is an ETF, apparently floating Bitcoin ETF. But this is, this previous support of 30,000, it's really up there. It's trying to break it, you know. So, and it's way off the lows, going back, you know, of 16,000.
Yeah. And Bitcoin, it's a funny one because, you know, it did start trading, you know, very much like a sort of a risk asset. But, the argument, you know, to hold Bitcoin is that it is a store of value, that it is a safe haven in a similar way to gold. So, you know, now the sort of frenzy is over, you know, it's sort of, you might expect it to behave a little bit more like what it's supposed to be, which, as I say, is that store of value.
Yeah. Here's the UK market. FTSE down 0.5%. Pretty much all down 0.5%. Even AIM All Share. Winners, narrowly winning, but Flutter, Frasers, John's favourite Ocado is up there. I don't know what Mike Frasier's doing. Mike Frasier just buys up anything that's falling, doesn't he?
Mike Ashley.
Yeah.
Well, he's a high street guy. He just wants to buy up. You know, he buys up lots of brands and then sort of integrates it all into the group. I've always liked his strategy. It's a good one.
Yeah. I'm a high street guy. Miners are down there. Look at that. Neo, Anglo American, Glencore. Well, BP is down a little bit. So it's a lot of Antofagasta, all the big things. In the FTSE 250, we've got to, in fact, it's in the headlines. Today. Vistry is down 5.3%. They come up with some figures, didn't they? House builder.
Yeah.
They built, affordable housing recently. Isn't that the case?
It's shifting to what it calls a partnership model. So it's rather than sort of selling privately, it's selling through sort of housing associations, that kind of stuff in partnership with housing association, housing providers, yeah. Affordable housing providers. There are some sort of questions over this strategy, as you'd expect from the house builders, the numbers are fairly soft.
Well, do you know what? I got an alert today on Persimmon. And I think they are now at a 52-week low. Yeah, there we are.
Mm.
Look at that. 52-week low for Persimmon, even breaching the previous lows in the July of this year. So that's not looking good. What are the other ones? I mean, Taylor Wimpey is
They're all going to be moving in the same direction.
Taylor Wimpey is still higher than it was back in October last year, though, so it's not 50. Very interesting. So let's have a look at, in fact, let's go to some comments on what do you think. So Richard Sandervalli, hopefully so. GB62, yes, markets do some relief, aren't they? I believe that. There's a massive relief due. Super Mono, ho, 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 hope so, he said. Simon Evans, US 10-year Treasury yield has just broken 5% barrier, so it could be an interesting week in the markets. The Magnificent Seven have also broken the technical uptrend on Friday, I believe. Tom says, my predictions are always wrong, so there will be no Santa rally. Yes, I like what you're doing there, Tom. Reverse psychology, the markets. What is going on? I don't understand with the bond markets. It's really a bit scary. I said, if you can get 5-6% in a savings account or in bonds or whatever, why would people go for, look at this, let me just, where's a 10-year? There is a 10-year, yeah.
But that's there. Exactly right. Mm-hmm. You know, that is a headwind for equities. 10-year,
by the way.
That is a clear headwind for equities.
Look at the American bonds. Look at that. That's 10-year. Really is powering away the yield. Of course, that means that the bond price is dropping there. So anyway, let's look at the front page of Fox here. So very content. Paul's talking to fund manager. Always good because they go through a lot of stocks. And they're Hamburg Capital Management. Michael Ulrich is there. AFC. In fact, we'll cover this in a bit. So we'll look at the thing. Because this is an amazing announcement. I don't know if you saw Upland here.
Yeah,
it's done the trifecta here, the triple three, most followed, most read, biggest riser.
Yeah.
Did you see that?
Takeover speculation.
Yeah, but, you know, this has had, it's had an amazing rise anyway, Upland. If you look at where it's come from, you know, it's come from like down here at 0.4, at almost 10 bagged here. And now today, and, you know, we were at, today was what? It closed last week at 2.94, so sub 3 pence.
Doubled. Shares have doubled today.
Yeah. Well, I mean, nowhere near where the offer is it? So literally, it's double again for the offer because they said the board, you know, responds to speculation. Where's the speculation coming from? The board of Upland confirms received an unsolicited, very preliminary approach regarding a possible offer at an indicative price of 14 pence. The potential offer referred to the approach. Now, the board has unequivocally rejected the approach as it believes it significantly undervalues the current potential of the company. What is this shit? What's the market cap this then?
What's the market cap? 66 million. 66 million. Yeah.
Wow. And there's another double. So they think even at that, what would be, 130, 140 million? They're saying it's undervalued. I'm not joking. That if you're holding that stock and you wake up on Monday morning and that RNS comes out, it makes you weak, doesn't it? You go, oh, yes. Yeah.
It would be a nice start to the week, absolutely, if you'd been holding them.
Yeah. But that's very rare you see that. Most followed, most read, biggest riser. So that's some good news there. Okay, let's get some content. AFC, I thought was quite interesting.
Yeah. I'm intrigued by this company. Basically, makes fuel cells, and the real big play for AFC is replacing sort of diesel generation in the construction industry. It's got joint venture with Speedy Hire, sort of construction equipment hire company. To basically supply these hydrogen fuel cell based generators. And actually, you know, to get hydrogen to power them, you've either got to sort of transport it in, store this stuff, but they're working on a machine that essentially splits the hydrogen out of ammonia.
Yeah.
With very, very high purity, increases what you need to actually use these things in fuel cells, to use ammonia-based hydrogen in fuel cells. So, they've made a lot of progress on the sort of technology front, a lot of progress with their sort of product range. I'm starting to put some really interesting deals together. A lot of case studies, a lot of test studies out there for what it's doing. Not yet really translated into revenue, but you know what they're saying here is this: they've got a path now to actually really commercializing this.
Yeah, it's not as catchy as the tomatoes thing, but they've got ammonia cracker technology. That's good there. So it cracks the ammonia there. So it takes it from what, NH3, it breaks it down the hydrogen.
It's ammonia, yeah.
Yeah, and they're saying that it's successfully achieved 99.99% hydrogen from single reactor testing. I don't know about you, but that seems quite high.
It's pretty pure. So there's standards around this stuff, and it's got great technology. The company has great technology. You know, as I say, numbers wise, it hasn't really translated into significant amounts of revenue just yet. So what did they do last year? 0.6 million in 2022. But they're on track to do another 0.6 this year. As I say, it's, you know, they're in the sort of tech phase, but now they're going to shift to commercializing it. 6 million in 2024 and 17 in 2025.
Big push
to clean up sort of, you know, the construction industry.
You find that at the top of the bull market, all the hope high potential stocks do very, very well. Look at that. I mean, it did hit like 90 pence a share. We're now at 13.6 pence. And even this today, it's some really odd fallers today. I mean, it's not even up, on this. It started up, went down, it's up 1.4%. But it's really hard to move some of these stocks. And today's very odd, I thought, today was some of the fallers. I didn't understand. I was looking at some of the fallers today. I understood this one.
Goodness, this is a shocker. That's a shocker of a statement.
They did say it's trading at the revised outlook and all that stuff is just not going to be good for the Mission Group.
Bad.
What do they do?
Digital marketing.
So they're in that area where they, you know, yeah. Okay.
But, you know, we've seen it across this sector now. The marketing industry is really struggling. But marketing budgets are getting slashed across the board. And, you know, they've had to revise their guidance fairly quickly. You know, trading has deteriorated very, very quickly indeed.
Yeah. But I didn't understand. Velocys, right? They announced the launch of their Ohio technology facility. And the shares are down massively. Is it just the time frames or what? They're saying production from mid-2024. The capacity to meet projected orders by 2028. Is it? I don't understand why it fell off. It's fallen down massively. This one was also a bit of a hope by potential stock. But it's, like I said, with all stocks, it's come off there.
Again, it's a sort of scaling up story, very much like AFC, you know, not really generating a lot of turnover at the moment. You know, 2023, in the current year, half a million. Turnover, and then 4.75 the year after that, 10 the year after that. So, you know, there is an expectation that we've hit that commercial inflection point. Now we're going to scale up, or Velocys is going to scale up. Maybe people were hopeful that it would happen a bit more quickly than this statement suggests. And at the same time, you know, as well as scaling up revenue, these companies have got to shift to profit, and you know, they're still forecast very, very heavy losses for a few years yet.
Supermono says, where's the fun in a 5% bond? I agree with you. Sometimes life isn't about a boring return. Sometimes life is a little bit about having a bit of fun, you know? And actually, when you research companies, you can get learn stuff and you get a bit of enthusiasm about them. Bonds, I do find them boring, bonds.
But you know, and there was a sort of, you know, this idea of portfolio construction, you know, modern portfolio theory, 60-40 portfolios.
You know, it's been hammered.
Well, it has been hammered, you know, because we've been in very unusual times. But, you know, it does seem that the sort of 60-40 approach is starting to
come to back,
kind of make a comeback. And, you know, bonds do a job, you know, they're a risk management tool, essentially, when the correlations between bonds and equities are working as they should be, which they haven't for quite some time. But we are getting back. We are seeing it, you know, it returned.
Yeah, yeah. Chaps, any steer on a trading app for graphs and sending alerts? TradingView isn't free, and the cheapest package is a bit more than I want to pay. No, it'll cost way too much to do that. But we already have a first-in-class RNS by notification. If you haven't got that, download the app. But I'm gonna, no, it's hard to replicate. The TradingView are number one in the world charts, I think. Mm. I'd say we're number one in the world for RNSs by notification. That's the way forward. So if you haven't downloaded the app, go for that. Big earnings, which it says in the week in the US, could provide a catalyst one way or another. So looking for the catalyst, maybe, could well be a Santa rally. October 1st, trust me, a crash month, key week, I think, yeah.
The problem with the US earnings season is that, you know, whilst, you know, we're looking at AIM and, you know, it's really sold off quite, you know, quite dramatically. Yeah. You actually look over the US and, you know, the sort of Magnificent Seven that we've already referred to, you know, they're still, you know, pretty punchy. On pretty high valuations, that, you know, that have a look at the chart for the S&P 500. You know, isn't anywhere near as horrific as AIM.
No, I know. Let's go.
You know, there are expectations there that have to be met. I would say that's a bit of fragility. It could go either way.
Yeah, and also with S&P, it's very distorted. Like I said, because of the Magnificent Seven, they're absolutely of 500 companies in the S&P 500, the Magnificent Seven. Account for 50% of the valuation out of 500 companies, which is nuts. That is so distorted. But even so, this is a worrying chart. You can see here now, I mean, previously when you saw, you know, a high and then, you know, like I said, a failure to break the previous high and it rolling down and then across the 200-day moving average. This was back in January 2022. This has happened again now. This doesn't look very good. I mean, we've got a couple of lower highs here, 1, 2, 3, 4, and then almost that support here that we had in the last few days, it's been broken again. So this seems weak. It's breaking the 200-day move. The S&P, I assume, will roll over a little bit. But whether that comes off the frothy, you know, big tech stocks or big Magnificent Seven. Because, I mean, if you look at Russell 2000, which is in the smaller cap indices in the US.
Yeah, that's...
No, look at that. That is nowhere near. It's not a rally like the S&P. It's been in a range. And in fact, if you look at that, it's broken down that channel. And it's on that, you know, it's getting towards that previous lows of 1650. So that's you know, a more sort of spread out sort of view on that, more fair view. Give us a look. Some sort of scam, I suppose. Chinese anonymous company. Oh, what's that? What does that do with what? Upland, you're saying? Oh, okay. Well, we don't know, do you? Is he just sort of surmising that, or Tim? Because we can't.
No, yes.
Well, it certainly helped the share price anyway. Sean, AFC Energy, yeah, 600 grand in revenue, and over 100 million valuation. How far into the future are investors pricing it? There is that. The green hydrogen plays are very highly valued, aren't they? The people obviously seeing that as the future in some way.
Well, they raised a lot of money, all of them. And I think AFC's got about 32 million quid left in the bank.
Yeah.
So you know, it's got... I mean, I wouldn't say it's a wash with cash, but there's a fair amount of cash in there. You know, you look at ITM and Ceres; they've all got a lot of money in the bank. But you know, this as you say, the technology does, you know, get into that real commercial inflection point. Profitability, most importantly, does seem some way away still.
Sean has asked there on Audio Boom. This Michael Tobin, he's a bit of a character, Michael Tobin, OBE, worth checking out his personal website. It's got a lot of pictures of him with celebrities, but he's been buying all the way down. Now, you know, Sean, I mentioned my thoughts on Audio Boom a while back. First of all, I missed out on 10 bag, so I'm maybe a bit bitter. But having looked into it, I do liken it to almost like a football team. You have to buy in talent, and it costs a lot. You know, this talent comes with their own audience, pretty much. To grow a podcast from nothing to millions is very, very hard. So the margins are very small. And even the top line, it's back to growth mode. There's very little room for generating cash from that, because it's obviously advertising as well is a hit as well in this market, isn't it? So
It's a very tricky market, podcast, and I think as well, you know, you've got a lot of sort of major media groups who are increasingly investing in podcast content. You know, a lot of celebrity podcast content. It's a changing market. It's, you know, it's heading the way that most markets that are successful do, and that is towards the bigger players.
Yeah, I would say, you know, for a start, it needs to break 180. That's the previous high. It broke down from there. It needs to break 180. So 142 now. Starting at the end of that trend, downtrend, I mean, because there's been a horrific downtrend. Look at that, from 22 quid. A lot of this, you know, I say, obviously, when you see a high, the next high, then it break down. But yeah, that was, I think a lot of this was a lot of speculation about them being taken over by Spotify or Google all here.
That's a long time.
So that wasn't, that wasn't based on, you know, and they had top line growth as well there. And they also went to profitability there. So it was a lot of good catalysts hit there. But yeah, they are, yeah, it's a high cost business to acquire talent like that. Okay. Let's look at the front page. What we got there? One Health.
What else?
Stats from this. So they've done some figures. They're quite good, actually. I've never heard of them before.
They're Aquis.
Okay.
You know, a lot of Aquis. I mean, it tends to get overlooked, but there's some really nice little companies on there. This is one of them. You know, so basically, you know, hiring clinicians to do a lot of sort of stuff that the NHS is really struggling with, backlogs. You know, elective procedures, that sort of stuff. Yeah. Lots of demand. It's expanding, you know, it's adding new doctors. It's planning a quite large hub for surgery. I mean, an NHS waiting list just continue to grow. You know, it's a real problem. And One Health is, like a number of companies we've spoken about, is there to kind of support the government in working its way through these quite significant backlogs. And it's translating into really nice revenue growth for this company.
Yeah, look at that. Revenue for the first half of the year. So their 16 million market cap was 11 million. That grew by 12%. So you assume they'll do 22, 23, 25 million. So, you know, and yet the cash went up. So, you know, it's provided substantial resources for continuing investment growth, with operating cash generation underpinning the group's progressive dividend policy. Yeah. Yeah. That says a lot of companies on AIM would love for that, you know, that kind of cash generation and dividend policy.
Yeah. I mean, it's, you know,
so it's, then, John.
It's a really... I was just bending down to look at something. I like these sort of companies that are, you know, let's say, relieving the burdens on the NHS. But I suspect, you know, there are some politics behind this. I guess, you know, some people will say this is the creeping trend towards privatisation of the NHS and won't like it. But unfortunately, we are where we are, and these companies are very, very necessary and doing a good job for investors and you know, getting through these waiting lists as well.
Well, yeah, I don't see the problem. If you want to pay privately, what's the problem? I don't see what the problem is there. I mean, it relieves pressure for the NHS. I don't see the problem. If people want to pay for it, they've got the money. They say, well, I'll save a bit of time. I'll go private. What's the problem?
It's ideological, really. And, you know, the NHS was established to be free at the point of care for anyone in the country that wanted to use it. But that's sort of, it's, you know, increasingly failing to be able to deliver that. Demographics, obviously, a big part of that. And those demographics are only going one way. So... You know, the politics are complicated. We won't get into them now.
Yeah, no. Metals One. I interview coming out. Going to be chatting to Jonathan, CEO there. But preliminary results from drills there looking very good.
Yeah, look good
from nickel, copper, and cobalt, and of course, it's in Europe. And if you look into it, it's quite scary the stranglehold that China and Russia has on critical metals. And you know, and we need that supply chain in Europe. So this is a company in a good place to provide this. You know, it's early stages, but early testing is good.
This is exactly what we were talking about towards the end of last week about, as you say, you know, critical metal supplies being close to the markets that need them. And, you know, Metals One is one of the companies that is doing that.
Yeah, yeah. Horizonte, of course, come up with a construction update looking up 2.8%. But remember, you know, we've still got this funding issue overhanging, like a dark shadow, a grey cloud over the top of the company. They still, you know, they did say the company's continue. Right, look at this. just down here, about the eighth bullet point. The company has continued to progress construction activities while advancing financing discussions with its cornerstone shareholders and lenders. Yeah, so they're pushing ahead as much as they can, but that, of course, is going to weigh heavily. And if you look at the chart on this, there'll be a lot of long-term holders to this. And to have that sort of rug pulled from you know, underneath you in the last few minutes when they were supposed to go into construction in Q1, and all of a sudden they said, oh, hang on, we're short a bit of cash, and now it's going to be Q4 next year. Like, oh, cheers, thanks for that. That's nice. It's reassuring. What else is there on the front page here? ECR Shanta. Anything you've been looking at, John?
No, not this morning. Just been having a little read around the market, seeing what's going on. You know, having a look at some of the bigger companies of history. I was having a read about this morning.
Yeah. Well, they're going to lay off people as well. Oh, by the way, Turipati, we did mention this, didn't we? That it's been a bit of a nightmare for them when the graphite price was weakening. But all of a sudden, China's come out with a statement saying they're going to limit, you know, graphite exports.
Yeah, again, resource nationalism play. I mean, it's sort of that you would expect that to have an impact on the graphite price, you know, a positive impact on the graphite price, which would be good for Turipati.
Yeah,
and Greenrock when it gets its mine built.
Yeah, so they're rallying there, but still, even with a, you know, he's a 20%, 27% rally, they are at, you know, not far off the low, so it's nowhere near an uptrend there, but hopefully that'll shore up. You know, that thing. Any more chat there on the thing? Let's look. Hi, guys. Any reason why Upland is currently only 5.75 mid-price after news of 14 offer? It doesn't sound like the market is believing a
very preliminary reason.
So first of all, they've chosen to reject it. Now, if that offer comes back and it goes higher, fair enough. But if they reject it, you've still got to generate your own value from that, haven't you? So so maybe the market isn't, you know, thinking they accept it or believe it. Exactly. So who knows? But what else is there? There's also, going back to your previous view on Upland, it's beat its 52-week range, long-term stock to hold next 10 years if you want to see that 100-bagger. All right, Fredo. Listen. One of the best times to get into Hope High Potential stock is before they're actually doing anything significant. You know, when they have to start raising money or getting debt finance, all that, it becomes complex. And if you look at Horizontal Minerals, that's, you know, so that's where they run into problems. So
what do they say? Buy on the rumor, sell on the deal.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, it might be further to go. Might get closer to that 14p.
Yeah. What's better? What is Informa? I think prodding you, John. What has a better future, BT or Ocado? Oh, there we are. Well, John knows what it is. BT or Ocado, John? Which one? Big tech have no debt. There we are. Oh, has Ocado got any debt or not? I don't know. John owns BT. John owns BT and he hates Ocado.
I mean, you know, I think BT is, you know, it's a critical part of the nation's infrastructure.
Does it mean you get a return, though?
I mean, I'm not doing too badly. I mean, the shares are down on an absolute basis, but the dividend is somewhat making up for it. So it's not a disaster. But, you know, I do think, you know, owning infrastructure is good. BT has not, you know, been a great performer, very difficult company to run. Got some new management in there. So, you know, I'll stick with BT. Ocado, I feel it's a solution looking for a problem. That's how I've always felt about it.
BT is a difficult company to run. It's a difficult company to hold as well. When did you buy these then?
Where did I buy them? They were well up, probably around there. Late 20, early 21.
Okay. So you bought them at low there.
Had a lovely little rise, and I was thinking, this is easy. This malarkey.
Yeah, that's when we all fall into problems. You know what? In fact, one of the biggest mistakes an investor can make is actually doing well, especially as a new investor. If you start doing well in the first year, if you join the bull market and everything's flying, be aware. Mm. It's never that easy. And sometimes, even if you have a winner and you're quite experienced, you can say, okay, let's get into another one and start, you know, dropping your quality filters a bit. And then you start picking some rubbish. And that dilutes the initial gain on the first stock. But that has come back down. What's quite encouraging there, as long as, in fact, do you know what? Even my fund is down today to pretty much an all-time low. But that support there, one ten. So this is above the previous pound level in 2021. But look at this, IUKD. It's literally a fund of the 250, and even that. I mean, if you scroll out there, it's threatening to break. It has broke previous support here. Look on that level. I said don't mind because. It's my biggest holding, but it pays a 6% dividend and it pays quarterly as well. So don't mind. And I'm averaging 50 of the biggest high yielding stocks. But that just shows you the weakness in the market. You know, it's not been down there since a couple of years. The market is very weak, which contrarily, it's quite good, really. It is good. Ocado, let's go to Ocado's chart then. How is that performing? Surely,
Not well recently is the short answer.
It's rolled over. It's rallied here. Look at this. High there, a lower high, and it's just broken down. It's really gone to 200 moving average. Yeah. Oh, that's an all-time low, isn't it? Oh, no, it's come back. Nice rally from 2017. Look at that. 2017. What is that?
It's
a cracking rally, isn't it?
Yeah, but they started to... position themselves more as a solutions provider than a supermarket, than an online retailer.
1100% from 2017
So this sort of thesis emerged. This was a tech play rather than a food retail play. Mm-hmm. And obviously they've got this JV with Marks and Spencer, and the real prize for them is selling their robotic solutions, their warehousing distribution solutions to other retailers.
Yeah.
But we did see, lots of sort of deals were being signed, but we don't know much about them. This is the problem. It was all a bit black box. And, I'm looking at their forecasts, 2025, it's still just the losses just mount up and up and up.
Yeah.
They'll tell you to make a profit at an EBITDA level, but, I don't care. They've got big warehouses and vans and huge amounts of depreciation.
Yeah. I know, exactly. I mean, I'm wary of companies that do EBITDA when it's not appropriate for them. Dexter says on Upland, didn't disclose the legal entity details of the bidder. Why would SEC Capital buy in the open market if they saw such value? Looks dubious. That's a very good point.
It's hard to buy a position that. The whole company, basically. You could acquire a position as a starting point, but it's very rare.
If it was a 33 million market cap and they were buying at 3p, it probably wouldn't go up to 14p, would it? On that, I don't know. I mean, they probably could have got. They could have got a big chunk in the market, enough to vote. A majority shareholder.
That's what you would have thought. It's impossible almost to acquire a company outright through the open market, but certainly building a position, a la Mike Ashley, as we talked about earlier.
Yeah. Simon says, Ocado is a loss-making stock, a story stock. They don't even own most of the real business. Andy says, HZM, lots of long-term holders. Company needs 188 million further funding. Any thoughts on the outcome? In this market, who knows? But they're far along the process, aren't they? Like I said, they're very close to production, so a lot of the equipment is in there. And I don't know. It's just going to be. It's the worst market ever to try and raise money for funds and all that. So it's just hard. A couple of years back wouldn't have been a problem. I would think a key large shareholders would maybe want to invest due to the value of the nickel mines owned. But at what price for the dilution? Yeah, that's it. It's horizontal. Yeah, it's a horrible, tricky market, isn't it? Where was the thing? I was looking at something here. I don't know who it was. You were on the falls today on Impact. It was S24/7.
All they Smart Tech 24/7. Yeah, I didn't understand.
It went down 10%. they announced some recent awards.
Yeah.
Showcases of excellence in the industry, right? And AI and hard cyber security. And they got slammed. They went down about 16%. Oh, my word. It's almost like, if you're going to show off about awards and stuff, we're just going to sell. I've been nominated for, as Deloitte, Fast 50 Technology Company of 2023. I literally just sold off. I thought, what? Was there any numbers in there? I didn't see any numbers.
No. There was a really nice, nice news recently as well. Yeah, I mean, it's been a very decent performer since IPO. IPO in a tough market too. So yeah, I, No, it's baffling, I have to say.
I do want to show you as well. I want to show you an example of a trend, a nice uptrend. Now, director's been buying. Look at Time Finance. Look at that.
Yeah, it's what I mentioned the other day.
We mentioned that. Yeah, you can't help but in fact, look at it. It's pretty much a gap above this 200-day moving average. It's moving up nicely. What it needs to do now is break this sort of level here, which is the previous high at 29, 30 pence. But directors have been buying of this of late. And I think quite a few of them have over the last. Let me just look at time. Time.
Numbers are really nice at the at half year. No, sorry, year to end of May.
So this director, look, Ron Russell. Okay, Ron, double R, purchased 120,000 shares in the company. So what's that? A quarter of 30 pence, 40 grand maybe. But he owns now 12.48%. So a nice big chunk of that.
It's getting in the game. Buying. That's what we like to see.
In the game. And it's going forward. It's nice. Yeah.
Yeah. And the shares are really not very expensive at all. So current financial year, that's the year to May 24, forecast P, 6.8 times.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's just nice looking numbers across the board there.
I would like to do, if I got spare time, I wouldn't mind doing this, because companies that hit, like I said, there's a saying out there saying, never sell a company at a 52-week high, never buy a company at a 52-week low, because of momentum, you know? I'd like to see the stats on that, actually. Companies that hit 52-week highs, how far do they go on, you know, momentum-wise? And in fact, any of your stocks hitting 52-week highs or 52-week lows, John, of late?
I don't know, I haven't looked.
Yeah. One of mine has, yes, today, actually, which is good energy, and you think the chart is going on, and I think it is good momentum there. When you get that, obviously, the sellers dry up and buyers come in. And in fact, look at this chart.
No, is the short answer. HVO's not too far away.
It's a nice little chart. I just show this breaking of support resistance, breaking up, nice high there. So previous support there, previous high there, and it's breaking 200-day moving average and new highs.
Most of mine have sort of hit 52 highs and then come back a little bit.
Yeah. Honestly, I need to break that against me. It does need to break this previous highs. That's what I need to do. And run over. Okay. All right. That's it. Just on some some bigger news or some business news. Have you seen this? In the autumn statement, the government has Help to Buy scheme again. Wow.
They're going to call it, presumably they'll call it something else. This is you know, what we're seeing in those house builder numbers, that the Help to Buy scheme was so important.
Was it like, I said, 25 to 50% of the buys came from Help to Buy scheme? It's like, that's huge. Now you've got a catalyst of this rolling over and, you know, that scheme not being there, you know, interest rates being high, that's hit home builders massively. But the government have not commented on this, but there's rumours this may happen. The Treasury has declined to comment. Of course, they're going to leave it to the open statement. Vistria, 200 jobs. Look at this. This is nice. Santa's wanted. A Christmas job vacancy jumped 25%. And so this is last year, 126,000 jobs there. And this is the biggest increase they've seen since they collected data in 2016. So this is quite good, along with demand for gift wrappers and snow clearers. Adzuna, also known as big grocers, Asda, Lidl, Tesco, accelerated their seasonal hiring. And Tesco's have announced, I think, 30,000 seasonal workers. People go mad for Christmas, don't they? They go mad for it. My mother-in-law, we got there for Christmas, and even though it's like, five, six of us, that's all it is, she buys for about 18 people, 20 people. The food is phenomenal. And you see why all retailers are gear up for Christmas, because people just got overboard, don't they? It's mad. That'll be a catalyst, though, for the Santa Rally. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Do you like
the seasonal elves holding up the jobs market?
When it comes down to that, we know we're in trouble.
Yeah.
But are you a big fan of Christmas, John?
Not especially.
That didn't surprise me at all. It's the Santa bear.
I like seeing my family having a few drinks and sitting around having something to eat. But I find the festival very stressful, I have to say. At least, you know, I no longer have to do Christmas issues of magazines and such as which was horrendous. But no, I find the whole sort of retail splurge quite unsavoury.
Yeah, exactly. No, it is.
Miserable, big Grinch.
My wife and the kids was ridiculous. I argue every year about it. I was filling a room with presents. It was, a lot of it's tat. Just it looked like there's lots of stuff. No, don't do that. Killing the planet single-handedly. You. Anyway, last two comments then before we shoot off. GB62, defo a Santa rally coming, assuming Santa recruitment is okay. Yeah. And Rufus is off, says the new name to help to buy scheme is help not to lose vote scheme. Yeah, yes, so that's what it's all about, isn't it? That is exactly what it's all about. Hit it on the head there. Thanks for watching. Don't forget, hit that subscribe button if you haven't, and download the Vox Machina app. It's free of charge. It's priceless. You'll never look back again. If you haven't done it in the next 10 seconds, do that. That's all it takes. 10 seconds to make download, and you'll be there. Cheers, John. Speak to you tomorrow.
Cheers, tomorrow.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.